Okay, welcome to the Yom Iyun on January 1st, 2016. And the topic we have today, the topic of the shir today is Kiddusha. The topic of the day is sanctifying Jewish life in the 21st century. So there are many things that we can talk about, and you look through the choices of shiurim, and there's really many, many great choices to talk about different aspects of Kiddusha, Kiddusha Sazman, Kiddusha Samakom, all different aspects of Kiddusha. I decided to focus on a little bit of a different aspect, which I think is important, and certainly important in the 21st century, and that is Kiddushas Einayim. Kiddushas Einayim, I titled the shir, See No Evil, Do No Evil. Now, just a couple of disclaimers. First of all, this is not going to be some rabbinic Musar Shmuz. I'm not going to get up here and start giving a Musar Shmuz about Kiddushas Einayim and what people do and what people shouldn't do. We all know what people do and what people shouldn't do. We all know those things. You don't need me to come and tell you those things. What I would like to share with you is a conceptual framework, a little bit of, why not? What are the ideas? What are the conceptual ideas behind this concept of Kiddushas Einayim, of keeping, maintaining the holiness of our eyes and that which we see in this world? And as I mentioned, it's very important, especially in the 21st century. I'm sure we all know that, way back when it was much harder. If a person wanted to see something that was inappropriate, if a person wanted their eyes to witness something that was, whether it was an image or whether it was an event or an incident that was inappropriate, it was difficult, sometimes to find those situations. In the 21st century, it's not difficult at all. It's very easy. Everyone has, pretty much the entire world at their fingertips, and there's very little that you can't find, whether it's in terms of images, in terms of videos, in terms of incidents, events, news. There's very little that we are not exposed to, and by we, I mean not only the adults in the room, but the high school kids in the room, and even the younger kids, in today's society. There's very, very little that we're not exposed to, and therefore, I think that the topic of Kiddushas Einayim is a crucial, crucial topic. I also want to make a point that I always try to make to my boys whenever I talk about, related things, things that are related to this topic, is to each their own. Very often, especially when it comes to these kind of topics, people are very sensitive that everyone has, their own approach. And sometimes we look down at the approach of others. This person, they're too frum, or they're not frum enough. We're always looking down at other people's approaches. I think it's important to keep in mind that, especially in this realm, and I think really in many realms we can apply this, that we have to be sensitive to the fact that every person is different, every community is different, every kehila is different, and therefore there are differences in terms of how they approach the topic of Kiddushas Einayim, in terms of how they approach the topic of Kiddusha in general, and many, many topics in Hashkaf and Halacha, and I think that's an important sensitivity to keep in mind. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says, famously, there are only, I think, two times where he uses the terminology of ma'od, ma'od. And ma'od, ma'od, you should be very, very careful. He uses it in two contexts. And one of them is in Ebn HaEzer, in Hilchos Ishus, he writes, Tzarich Adam l'yisrachek mehanashim ma'od, ma'od. Now, obviously, this does not mean that you have to stay away from women, but what it does mean is that a person, when it comes to these issues of Yetzer Hara, when it comes to these issues of Kiddushas Einayim, a person has to be very, very careful, a little bit more careful than with everything else. As we know, the Yetzer Hara is very strong, and because of that, a person really has to put in a little bit of extra hishtadlus. So I always say that, if we find somebody who does something, maybe has a little bit of a chumrah, or a little bit of a stringency to us, might seem a little bit much, a little bit overboard, perhaps even a little bit crazy, right? We shouldn't judge them. I don't think it's appropriate to judge them or to denigrate them or to make fun of them. The idea is that to each their own. Everybody has their own approach as to how to deal with these things. And what might be appropriate for us might not be appropriate for someone else. And what might be appropriate for someone else might not be appropriate for us. I think there is a certain baseline that we all have to work on. But beyond that baseline, I think it's important to be sensitive to the different needs and the different ideas. Now, why the eyes? Why are we focusing on Kiddushas Einayim? Our body is made up of many, many organs. We have many body parts, right? We talk about in Asher Yatzar, and Nekavim, Chaluvim, Chaluvim. We have many body parts. And why are we so focused on the Kiddushas Einayim? So I don't know, one of the shiurim, I think, is dedicated to the Kiddushas HaPeh, Kiddushas HaDibur. That's also an aspect, an element of Kiddusha that we focus on, the mouth and how we speak and how we express things. That's certainly an element of Kiddusha. But besides for that, most of the body parts are not really related to Kiddusha. You don't really talk about Kiddushas HaRaglayim or Kiddushas HaYadayim. You don't really talk about that too much. So why specifically the Einayim? Why specifically the focus on the eyes? That the eyes, we have to maintain Kiddusha
of our eyes. And there's a very interesting approach of the Lev Eliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Lapian, in his Sefer on Chumash Parshas Noah, where he says that if you think about all the other organs in the body, and we'll read it inside in a minute, when you think about all the other organs in the body, really, those organs are pretty much just physical. They're pretty much just physical organs. You think about your feet, right? So my feet, they're physical organs. They serve a physical purpose. They walk, they run, they take me places. That's the point of my feet. My hands, I carry things, I lift things, I say Shalom Aleichem to people, I wave to people. There's a physical purpose to my hands. Now, of course, if you get into the sensory aspect of it, and this is my neuropsychology background a little bit coming into it, of course, there are, synapses and there are nerve impulses, and all these things are sending messages to the brain. However, if we think about the eyes are really the one organ or the pair that in our body that really is almost directly connected to the brain. It's really directly connected to the brain and almost has no other purpose than just the messages that it sends to the brain. That's it. Right? It's not like our feet that are walking. It's not like our hands that are doing things. It's not like other parts of our body, our stomach which is digesting. It's not like other parts of our body which have a physical, element or expression to them, but in addition to whatever connection to the brain that they have. But the eyes are really just purely connected to the brain. And in fact, Rav Eliyahu Lapian says that if you think about the eyes are really just a lens that the brain has, that the seichel has to the outside world. It's really just the lens of the seichel. That's what the eyes are. He writes, Ki ha'inayim ha'besariyim ha'nirim lefanenu. Right, the physical eyes that we see before us, la'amito shel davar, in truth, hem eina mehavim shum koach shel etzem hariyah. They don't really see at all. Right? There's no power of sight in the eyes themselves. And we know this. If you study the science of the eyes, what happens? Elahim rak kemo chalonos. They're windows. They're lenses. Shedarkam nichnasim zeharurei hashemesh. We know that the rays of the sun or the light waves, they enter our eyes and it just sends messages to the brain and the picture is formed in our brain. That's exactly what happens. There is no real physical manifestation in the eyes themselves. They're just lenses. They're just windows from our seichel into the outside world. Koach ha-re'iyah hu koach ruchani mikoro b'mocho shel adam. And he says, therefore, that really the power of sight, the sense of sight, a vision that we have, is really completely spiritual. It's completely spiritual. It's completely connected to the brain, completely connected to the seichel, and therefore it's the eyes are really one of the most spiritual organs that we have in the body, because they're just a lens, they're just a perspective of the seichel out into the world. And the Maharal in his Sefer Netzach Yisrael has a very similar idea, and he writes the ha'ayin shehu ha'ri'iyah, right, the eye which is really the place of vision, hu davek el ha'seichel. It's interconnected, it's connected in a very deep way to the brain, to the mind, to the seichel. Kmo she'amru Razal, shuraina de'ena b'libatalia, ad shebazeh u'davek b'sichli legamre. It's almost pure. It's almost a purely spiritual organ, if you think about it. Almost purely spiritual. Because it's just connected to the brain, just sends the messages. The things that we use in this world, just sends them directly to the brain. The ha'sichli, yesh lo d'vekus bo yisvarach. And says the Maharal, if we think about it, how do we connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Through our mind. We connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our mind. By thinking about ideas, by thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by learning His Torah. That's how we Jews, we're people of the mind. We connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our mind. So if the eyes are the organs that are directly, the most directly connected to our mind, and our mind is how we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see the very close connection between our eyes and our relationship with Hashem. So that's really why the focus is on the eyes in terms of Kedusha, because we have to maintain that Kedusha of our eyes, because that's how we have... That's one of the ways, obviously not the only way, but that's one of the ways we have our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one of the main ways we have this spiritual connection. If you think about it in terms of Kedusha Seinayim, so obviously the first thing that comes to mind is this idea that the eyes can lead to sin. And this is a famous pasuk in Rashi that many of us know, and the pasuk says, we say it every day in Shema, twice a day, three times a day, V'losasuru acharei levachem v'acharei einechem. That a person, we have to be careful not to stray after our eyes and after our hearts, asher atem zonim achareihem, that we have a tendency to stray after those things. The things that we see, the things that we feel or think, we have a tendency sometimes to stray after those things. And it comes to the Torah and warns us, you have to be careful. And again, it singles out the lave, questionable exactly what the lave, might not mean the heart, but it might mean the brain, but the lave and the einayim. And comes Rashi, and Rashi says, what's this language of sasuru, right? Latur, what does that mean? So we know it from the language of the Meraglim, kemo mitur haaretz, right? The idea of spying out the land, of checking out the land, a spy. That's really what Latour means. And writes Rashi, Halev ha'inayim heim meraglim laguf. That the heart and the eyes are really the spies of the body. Those are the body spies. U'mesarsirim lo es ha'averos. And they serve as the middlemen. The middlemen that bring us the averos. Right? We have all these potential averos that are out there, and we're trying to maintain our own personal kedusha. So what are the organs that are most involved in being those middlemen and getting those averos to us and helping us, enabling us really to do the averos? Those are the eyes and the heart. Ha'ayin roe, v'halev chomed, v'haguf oses ha'averos. The eye sees, and then the heart desires, and then the body goes and does the averos. So that's what it's all about. It's about that connection. Again, the connection between the eyes and the heart, which is probably a reference to the mind, but the eyes and the seichel, and then that's what brings us to do it. So obviously, we were talking about Kedusha before, but here is the opposite. When we look and we see something negative, we see averos, we see something that we desire, which is not necessarily what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, but then it transfers to our mind, it transfers to our seichel, and then we want it, and then our body goes ahead and tries to do it. Yeah?
How does Ayin Hara tie into all this?
It's a good question. It's probably not really related. Ayin Hara is more of a jealousy concept.
But Ayin
is eye, yes, correct. So the concept is that when people see, and this is just kind of a tangent, but when people see someone else being successful, and they're not as successful, right, so that's with their eyes, that's what they see, there's a certain jealousy that's caused because of that. And that jealousy can cause problems. If you look at the sources with Ayin Hara, most of them talk in that vein, that's the idea behind Ayin Hara. There are some that take more of a metaphysical approach. I mean, there's different approaches to Ayin Hara we can talk about another time. But it is related to the eyes in that sense, that you see something and then it affects you, it affects your seichel. So here it's the negative, that the eyes can certainly bring a person to sin. The eyes are actually very hard to control. And we all know this from personal personal life, that the eyes are hard to control. But it's actually a medrash. The medrash says in Parshas Toldos that there are several organs that are really not within our control. We can't really control these organs. Halalu she'inan birshusa. The following organs are not in our control. Ha'inayim. The eyes, the ears, and the nose. Right? So the ears and the nose, we understand. But if there's a noise, we're going to hear it. Unless we stuff something in our ear, we can't control whether we hear something or not. If there's a noise, right, we're going to hear it. And our nose as well. Unless our nose is stuffed, if there's an odor, if there's an aroma in the room, we're going to smell it. We don't have a choice. We can't opt to smell or not to smell. So too says the Medrash, that when it comes to the eyes, we don't really have much of a choice either. The eyes really are very difficult to control. Ha'inayim. Ketzar, how is it that we don't have control over our ha'inayim? Haya over bashuk. A person walks in the marketplace. You walk outside. Ra'a aveira o davar shehu ma'us be'enav. You see an aveira. You see someone doing an aveira. You see something that's despicable to you. You see something that's disgusting. O adam she'ein lo bo chefetz liro. So you see someone that you don't have any particular interest in seeing. Or you see a cop who you don't want to see you, right? You're on the road and you're driving a little bit fast and you see a police officer. So you don't really want him to see you. Whatever the case might be, mayase, what can you do? Robin, who shall love it? You don't have a choice. Right? If you're in that situation, you go out into the shuk, you're in the situation, and these things appear, you don't have the option of not seeing them. I can't say, oh, I'm just not going to see now. Right? Okay, good. Right, so we'll talk about that in a second. So you don't have the option of not to see. You see, right? So a person, of course, can close your eyes. Of course, that's why Baruch Hashem, we have built-in lids that we can close our eyes. And there's actually a Sefer Chaye Olam where written by the Stipler, where he discusses the fact that if you think about the eyes, almost like in a Rav Avigdor Miller type way, that if you think about the eyes, there are so many layers of protection to the eye. Right? We talk about the eyelids. There's so many layers of protection. You think about it. First of all, the eyes are sunken into our skull. Which means that if you fall and you hit your head, right, your eye, chances are, is not going to get damaged unless there's something that's protruding, unless something that's, something sharp that's protruding out. But if I just fall face down, my eye's not going to get damaged because the skull protects it. And then even within the eye, we have the eyelid that closes to protect the eye. We have the eyelashes. We have the eyebrows. All of these things, there's so many built-in protections to the eye that you see that the eye is such an important organ. Right? So in a sense, we can control when we close our eyes. But then you have to make a decision to close your eyes. And at that point, very often you've already seen something that you don't want to see. And sometimes I know I'm going to an area where I don't want to see, I really don't want to see this, and I close my eyes so that I don't see it. Okay, that's possible. Sometimes these horrific videos, ISIS videos or something like that. So, you know, of course, it's being played by someone. Someone's playing it on the computer, but I don't want to see it right now. So, I know it's coming up. I'm closing my eyes, so I don't see that. I don't see that terrible thing. Right? So, you can't close your eyes. But very often, when we close our eyes, it's after we've already seen something, and now it's a response, it's a reaction. And, you know, I don't want to see any more of it. But we've already seen it. Because that first sight, the first vision, we don't have control of it. If we're there, and the thing is happening, we're going to see it automatically. So it's very, very difficult to control, and that makes it even more challenging. You know, that element that we spoke about, the eyes leading to sin, because it's so hard to control. I think there's another element. You know, not just that if we see something negative, it's going to lead us to sin, which is of course important and of course true, as Rashi tells us based on that pasuk. But I think there's another element, and that is the power that our vision has. And I think that so often in life, and sometimes I talk about this with the guys in Shir, so often in life, we have the decreased sensitivity to things because of our exposure. Because we see things, we have decreased sensitivity to those things. So, for example, the Gra says, it's the Gra in Tikkuni Zohar, his explanation to Tikkuni Zohar, he says something so powerful in terms of vision. And he writes, "Ubereiya achas yecholim liros ma she'iyav shar lishmoa bizman gadol." Right? You have such a power, the vision has such a power that you can see something, and it makes a lasting impact on you in a way that hearing won't make that impact. I mean, as you just referenced this just before. You know, the fact that kids see their fathers coming to learn does so much more than a father telling his kid from here, from today until tomorrow, you know, you gotta learn, it's important to learn. You know, we can talk like that, you know, we get till our faces turn blue. But it's such a different thing when a kid sees a father learn, right? When a kid sees something outside, he sees a role model, even in the outside world, forget fathers, even in the outside world, he sees, you know, a sports star do something good, right? He sees a sports star do something good, you know, involved in a chesed, or whatever the case might be, or he sees someone, you know, that he doesn't necessarily expect it all of a sudden, he sees them doing something that's so positive. It makes such a roshan, it makes such an impact on them. The vision, the sight, that they witness that thing, it can change a person's life. Whereas all the shmuzin and all the talks by all the rabbis and the rebbeim about how you got to do this and you can't do the other thing, you know, a lot of those talks can go in one ear and out the other. No, but when you see something, it makes a lasting impact. The hare'iya eina nishkachas mehera. This we all know. If you see something, it doesn't, you remember it for a long time. Especially if it's something memorable, especially if it's something remarkable, whether it's for good or for bad. Right? I'm sure that we all have witnessed things in our life that we will never forget. We have that, you know, I'll never forget this. I can envision it right now. Right? I remember myself when the Twin Towers fell. I obviously didn't witness it. Maybe some of you were there. But I didn't witness it. But I was in Israel. And when I heard the news, I remember exactly where I was, exactly what room I was in, who I was talking to at that time when I heard that news. Right? And that's because it's something that I witnessed. And just it was such a searing moment in my life that it seared into my memory. You don't forget it. So things that are memorable, again, whether it's for good or for bad, things that are memorable make such a lasting impact on our lives. And therefore, we have to be careful on the one hand, not to witness the things that are negative to make that lasting impact, but we have to be positive on the other. We have to see the things that are good to make that lasting roshan. I remember, somebody once showed me a video of a certain, when I was growing up, so it was all about, you know, kids were into wrestling. It was the WWF, right? That was wrestling when I grew up, okay? And, you know, it was basically a bunch of actors, and there was this mat, and there was a big loud noise, and, you know, pretty much nobody got hurt. You know, sometimes there was drama surrounding the characters, but it was, it was pretty much a clean fight, and, it was fun to watch. That was WWF when I grew up. And recently, you know, somebody showed me this video of a different type of wrestling, which is basically a cage, right? And you put two people in a cage, right? Two people, I don't even know if I want to call them people, but you put two people in a cage, and they basically, there are no rules. I mean, maybe there's one or two rules. And they basically just fight until the other one can't move anymore. And I was thinking to myself, like, and I remember, somebody showed this to me, and they didn't have any problem watching it. I got sick. As soon as I saw it, I got sick. I was like, what is going on here? And I thought to myself, you know, it's this idea of, like, the decreased sensitivity. You know, somebody who's exposed to this kind of thing, who watches it, you know, especially, like I mentioned before, with today's exposure, where you can see anything online, anything, you can watch ISIS beheading someone. Right? You can watch it. So you see so many things online. People are so exposed, overexposed, that there's no sensitivity anymore to these types of things. You know, but a person, you know, who doesn't have that exposure, it's almost like jarring. Like, how can you even watch such a horrible, you know, such a horrible event, such a horrible incident, such a horrible thing, a horrible image, horrible video? How can we even watch such a thing? So I think that this is such an important idea, the decreased sensitivity, that really the Gra is saying, that when we see something, it gets seared into our heart. It gets seared into our memory, and it's very, very hard to control. The key to spiritual success, and we have another 2 minutes or so, but the key to spiritual success, it's very clear that if you look at the Ben Ish Chai, you look at the Shalah, many other sources, and they write that because of the importance of the eyes, and because the eyes are so connected to the Seichel, and so important in terms of our connection with the Ribono Shel Olam, so really, when we work on our eyes, when we work on this holy organ, really it will help us in terms of connecting with Hashem, in terms of spiritual success. He writes, Shim Shtayim Elu, he's referring to the ayin and the leiv, right, the heart and the mind. If we work on these two things, Iyu Kedoshim, as kulam nikdashim v'nitarim. That's the way that we become holy. The way that we become sanctified, the way that we become holy, is by working on our Kedusha Seinayim and working on our Kedusha Seichel. And the Shalah writes a very similar thing, the Yashkiach Tamid at the end, where it's underlined, Shelo yihye shom shum avera, ki kimat elu hamakomos makom shalein, v'yet tamid bekedusha v'tara. The more Kedusha, the more Tahara we have in our lives, so Baruch Hashem, the better it will be in terms of sanctifying ourselves and sanctifying really our lives to HaKadosh Baruch. A couple of just how-tos. Number one, you got to make a commitment. Right? The Pasuk in Iyo says, Baris karati la'enai. I made a covenant with my eyes. It's actually a website, Covenant Eyes, which I have here. I made a covenant with my eyes. You have to make a commitment that I understand the dangers out there. I understand the problems. And therefore, I'm committed that I want to do something. I want to sanctify my eyes in a more important way. And obviously getting help, filters and accountability, whether it's K9, Guard Your Eyes, Covenant Eyes, Web Chaver, there's so many tools out there that we can be exposed to the world. But again, keeping it moderate, keeping it healthy, keeping it in a way where we know that the sanctity of our eyes will be maintained. Many of these things are not even frum. You know, all these things, Guard Your Eyes and Web Chaver, obviously are from organizations. But this Covenant Eyes, I think, was started by the Mormons, and K9 is just a group that's out for family safety. So a lot of these things are not even, not necessarily Jewish. This is a kind of a universal concept. Obviously we have a Jewish take on it, that the Kedusha Seinayim is more tied to our personal Kedusha. But I think if we all work on this, this is truly a way that we can all become sanctified people, as Rabbi Kamensky said, Mamlechas Kohanim Begoy Kadosh. Thank you for listening.
Enjoy the rest of the day.